Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live here at the NovaCare Complex in our Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro. We've got a great show for you on this very busy Wednesday. The Eagles on the practice field. You heard from Chip Kelly earlier. If you didn't, we'll catch you up on all the headlines. The Eagles preparing for the New York Giants on Sunday, and the quarterback picture remains a bit fuzzy. Michael Vick practicing, Matt Barkley practicing, Nick Foles making progress, not yet on the practice field, but we'll get to all that in a bit. We've got a great show for you in our Cover 2 segment. Howard Eskin and Sheil Kapadia from PhillyMag.com talk about the Eagles and a 3-4 team right now as we approach the midway point of this regular season. The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, comes in and talks, of course, about quarterbacks. And a week ago, we were raving about Nick Foles. Now, what's the next step for Foles? What's the next step at the quarterback position for the Eagles? We take your predictions. We take a look at practice. And, oh, so much more here on Eagles Live. Let's get you caught up first with the day's headlines and Bo Wolf.
Thanks, Dave. And the big news from Chip Kelly's press conference earlier this morning, Michael Vick will once again take the first team reps at practice today with the first team offense. He continues to test that hamstring to find out whether or not he can be the guy on Sunday to start against the New York Giants. Nick Foles still recovering from the concussion that he suffered against the Cowboys, going through that protocol. He will not practice today. Elsewhere on the injury front, Patrick Chung is working his way back at safety. Perhaps he can return to the lineup, though Chip Kelly did say that Earl Wolf has impressed over the last few weeks in his time at the starting lineup. The big matchup on Sunday, the Eagles looking for a win at Lincoln Financial Field against the Giants. Of course, these teams met only 3 weeks ago, which creates intrigue. What will the two teams change in terms of their strategy? Chip Kelly says, when it comes down to it, both teams are going to line up and do what they do best, which for the Eagles, hopefully, means getting back to success on the ground. Later on today, you can watch LeSean McCoy and D'Amico Ryan's press conferences live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And we're taking a look at Michael Vick in practice. Yes, he is on the practice field, and the Eagles really taking this as a day-by-day thing with Vick, and he and Matt Barkley sharing first-team reps in practice on Tuesday. Today, though, as you see, the team in full uniform, and, well, we'll see just how Vick feels, where he's at after this day of practice. But as Vick said yesterday after practice, if all things go according to plan, he will be on the field against the Giants as the Eagles go for the sweep. The second time in a month that these teams have played, so actually in 3 weeks. So a lot of Giants in a short period of time, hopefully Michael Vick healthy and ready to go, and we'll keep you updated, of course, on all of that. Make sure you're with us throughout the show, and at the end of the show, LeSean McCoy, Eagles running back, and linebacker D'Amico Ryans meeting the media, their weekly press conferences. So everything that goes on here, we've got it for you live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, as well as our mobile app. When we return, Chip Kelly in studio, our exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade. The head coach up next, right here on Eagles Live.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, just white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
in to our exclusive one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly, presented by Gatorade. Dave Spadaro with the head coach. Once again, coach, it's the Eagles and the Giants 3 weeks later. How does that affect preparation? Do you look at the same things you looked at the first time?
We have a couple more games. You know, obviously you look at the game you played against them, you know, and what you did well, and obviously what they did well, you know, and then they obviously played the Vikings. They also played the Bears. So you get a couple more games, and they're also a little bit of a different team just from an injury standpoint. They have some guys back that didn't play against us the first time, so that changes the dynamic a little bit. They also have a linebacker that they traded for after our game. So there's a lot of similarities, but there's also some differences.
What did you do well? I mean, good win for the Eagles on the road the first time around. What do you take from that one?
It was an interesting game. You know, I thought, you know, going in, we had a good plan. They played a little bit more man coverage than they had shown, but we adjusted to that. Michael ran really well. I think he had 79 yards in, you know, about a quarter and a half. And then after pulling his hamstring, Nick came in and did a really good job of, you know, kind of isolating some receivers and getting some matchups we liked and putting the ball on guys. You know, we threw a touchdown pass to Selleck, you know, found LeSean a couple times. So, you know, overall, I thought we did a really good job on defense. You know, we forced three turnovers in the fourth quarter against them. Got after Eli pretty good, had a couple intentional groundings, and shut down their run game from a defensive standpoint. So, you know, I'm sure they'll make some tweaks in what they do, and we'll make some tweaks in what we do, and it should be a heck of a game.
The defense here, Chip, has been just dramatically improved from games 1 through 4 through 5 through 7. Talk about that improvement and just everybody really seems to feel much more comfortable in the scheme.
Yeah, and that's what you hope happens, I think. As a group, we got a bunch of guys that are very professional. They work extremely hard, and you know, each week you can see them growing and see them improving, and that's what you hope for. You know, instead of having to think about the play call, you know, they're reacting to what the offense does. And get themselves in the right spots. They can focus on the little tiny details that make them, you know, a better player instead of just trying to figure out where they're lining up. And as you see them understanding it better, and you know, we're really not adding a whole heck of a lot. It's just getting comfortable in repetition, and the more they get to see it and the more familiar they get with it, the more productive they are. And they really have improved since the beginning of the season.
When you watch tape from early in the season to now, I mean, is it visibly different how much faster they're playing on defense?
Yeah, and just how they make checks and when people motion and what they do and how we handle it and, you know, the kind of the details. And that's the biggest thing is that, you know, obviously they can get lined up. They know what the formation is. But then, you know, do I want to be half a man inside? Do I want to be half a man outside? Where's my help coming from? You know, from a coverage standpoint, how in sync are we doing if we're working line stunts up front, and you know, who goes first, and you know, how we're working that pattern with the suddenness that we're doing it. You know, our blitzes are disguising better. You know, people aren't seeing exactly what we're doing, but then guys are coming and creating pressure. So it's just a total package, and I think Billy Davis and that the defensive staff have really stuck to what we want to get done on the defensive side of the ball, and to see the improvement on a weekly basis has been really good.
Number 59, D'Amico Ryans, has really been just outstanding this year. Great game against the Cowboys. You talk about his development, moving back inside after playing in a 4-3 last year, and then 2 years out from the Achilles tendon injury. Looks like D'Amico is at the top of his game.
Yeah, real student of the game. Is the leader on our defense. You know, he sets everything for us, you know, sets the tone from his approach in terms of what he does, but also on the field is the guy that we call the plays into and then gets everybody lined up and gets everybody in the right direction. And, you know, you see guys starting to really look to D'Amico a lot, has really developed into a leader, but he leads by his actions first and foremost. He's, you know, literally first guy in the building, last guy to leave, you know, great student of the game, outstanding in the weight room, in just everything you want in a football player, and really, really happy we got D'Amico.
Is that how you see leadership happening, that a player is the first one in and leads by example, and then players kind of gravitate toward him?
Well, I just think before you can do anything to lead, you have to make sure that you're doing things the right way. You know, and it's very difficult for someone to say do things this way, but then you personally don't do it that way. So I think you kind of set the tone from how you do it. And players know. Players know which guys are really have it, I guess, their mindset in terms of what they want to get accomplished. And we got a bunch of those guys. And I think When you have someone that is as comfortable as D'Amico, you know, by nature of that position, being the middle linebacker and being the guy that has to be the signal caller, I think, you know, some of that naturally falls upon him. But I think some guys can't handle it sometimes when it naturally falls upon him. He embraces it. Guys look to him. He's a great mentor to our young players. He's just everything you want a football player.
You've talked since preseason about some of these young players up front and the development they've made. And, you know, one who's come from not being active early to getting his reps increased every week is Vinnie Curry. How has he made that move up the depth chart and earned the trust of everyone?
Yeah, Vinny obviously has a skill set to rush the passer, you know, and people are going to throw the ball against us. You know, he's a real good situational pass rusher for us right now and helps out with Fletcher Cox and Cedric Thornton and Soap and those guys inside in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, some guys, Isaac is really a first and second down guy. Vinny's more of a third down guy, you know, and as he continues to develop, you're hopefully that he's not just exclusively a third down guy. He can become a first, second, and third down guy. But right now he's given us a good spark on third down.
You've singled out Cedric Thornton a couple of times this year, and this is a kid who was not drafted, who kind of came off the streets out of college and has developed into a very nice player. Why?
We're all about production, and when you look at every game, you know, almost every game, he's our most productive defensive lineman. He was our most productive defensive lineman again versus the Cowboys, had two hurries and some tackles. And he always seems to be around the ball, no matter whether it's a run or a pass. And real technician, has really bought into what we're doing, you know, and as he continues to develop, very tenacious. Another guy that, although not as vocal as D'Amico, but in terms of his work ethic and the time he puts in, it's really paying off for him, and on a consistent basis, Sed's really done a really, really nice job for us up front.
How much different is the talent level between a draft pick and a guy like Cedric who wasn't drafted? There's still very, very good players after the draft available, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, and there's a ton of them. I mean, you know, Harrison from the Steelers, who's now with the Bengals, was an undrafted free agent. Tony Romo was an undrafted free agent. You're always going to hear stories of guys that for one reason or another, you know, we've had, I think just in this rookie class, we had four or five make our team. You know, Jake Knott and Matt Tobin and Damon Square. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. There's a lot of guys playing college football. And in a lot of situations, all they want is an opportunity. And when they get the opportunity, it's you know, really up to them to show us what they can do. But once they get here, you know, we never say, well, this guy's a first rounder and that guy's an undrafted guy. As we throw them all in there and the best players play.
Chip, what have you seen from this team, young team, tough loss on Sunday, in the days since then, in the way they've kind of carried themselves here?
Yeah, I think we're a little bit unique because we don't do anything on Monday. We're mandated by the league to give them a day off, and our day off is Monday. A lot of teams' day off is Tuesday. For us, there's a lot behind that, but one of the behind that is that it's probably better that, you know, you kind of get 24 hours away from everything, you know, and you know, it's still not raw or fresh in your mind, and then you take a day off and then you don't come back to work. So our guys came back to work yesterday and did a really nice job. You know, we're honest and communicate very well about what we did well and what has to be fixed, and then make our corrections and then move on and start preparing for the Giants. And they kind of understand the model. You know, whether you win or whether you lose, there's going to be things that you did well, but there's also going to be corrections you have to make. And that's how we have a system that we kind of use, and we're very consistent with that. You know, I don't think you can go crazy and say, hey, we're going to come back in at 6 o'clock Monday morning and do this when you don't win, and then say, hey, let's take 4 days off when you do win. It's just we have a certain approach and a certain rhythm we need to get into, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday builds into Sunday, and then you replicate that each week, and I think our guys have done a really good job with that.
And yet, if there are players who want to come in on Monday, they are obviously come on in and let's watch film.
Yeah, but not with the coaches. They're all on their own. So, you know, there may be a few guys that do that. They can come in and get treatment and all that. But, you know, I think they need a day away. We believe, you know, it's great for us as a staff. We game plan all day long, you know, in terms of getting ready for our next opponent and, you know, grade the film from the day before and obviously make corrections, what we need to get accomplished. And then really jump in full speed into the next opponent. So, you know, there's some guys around the building, but they're all on their own.
Chip, it's Michael Vick taking reps with the practice, first team offense. What are you looking for him from him between now and Sunday? Are there specific guidelines that he's got to pass?
Just
to
where his health is, you know, and Mike will be the first one to tell us that. You know, I think we've done a really good job of listening to Mike. I think Mike understands his body. And one thing with Mike, sometimes guys will tell you, hey, I'm fine, and then you know they're not fine. You know, they're dragging their leg as they walk away from you, and they try to tell you they're fine. You know, Mike's been open and honest in terms of where he is, and you know, it's a unique injury in terms of muscle pulls are sometimes very difficult to deal with. You don't know how long they last. So Mike knows when to push himself. He's worked extremely hard in the rehab aspect of things. So we'll just see as the week progresses, you know, and it's one of those deals where he may practice well on one day and then all of a sudden get up the next day and be really, really sore and can't go the next day. So, right. You know, it's over the test of time, and we'll see how it goes as the week progresses.
When you look back at Sunday's offensive struggles, just a case of missed opportunities?
It was a case of a lot of mistakes, you know, and again, it's not all just on one person. I think there's a bunch of guys that when you kind of watch the tape, you're just got to, you know, where you're a play away or, a step away from making something really happen. And for one reason or another, for the first time offensively this year, it was just one of those games. So make the necessary corrections and then move on to the Giants.
It's the Eagles and the Giants on Sunday, Lincoln Financial Field. We thank Chip Kelly for coming in. Our exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Complete over the middle.
Dude, it's huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
If you are unable to give us a phone call live during our show, we've got the Bird phone for you. 215-526-6800. Give us a call. Tell us your name, where you're calling from. How about a question regarding the quarterbacks? Who would you like to see on Sunday against the Giants? Give us a call. Keep those calls under 60 seconds, and perhaps you will make it to one of our live shows here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're live every day, Monday through Thursday, noon to 1 o'clock. We call it Eagles Live as we take a look out at practice. Michael Vick working hard on the practice field. Said yesterday he's making good progress. Hopefully stays on track to be ready for the Giants on Sunday. If not, Matt Barkley taking some reps with the ones as well in practice, kind of making sure that both of those quarterbacks ready if needed, when needed upon calling. And Nick Foles making some progress, according to Chip Kelly, this morning. Take some phone calls now, 215-339-6709. Carl in D.C. joins us. Hi, Carl.
Dave, how's it going? Finally got through this year.
I'm glad to hear from you, Carl. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
I love the show.
Thank you.
How I keep track from D.C.
Excellent.
One thing, with a new offense and a new defense this year, if somebody told me we had a chance to be 500 at the midpoint of the season, I'd have done handsprings down Main Street.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, then you get into the course of it and you say, boy, there was an opportunity missed here and there. But I hear what you're saying, and I think getting to 4-4 would be absolutely huge for this football team.
But let's not throw the whole system out because of one game.
Wait, is anybody who's suggesting that? Have you seen anyone suggest that the system isn't I mean, boy, the Eagles are playing at historic proportions here.
But all the negatives from yesterday and the press, it's like, okay, guys, the offense had a bad game. Throw it out. Let's keep going. Okay, we've got a good thing going here. I love what I'm seeing.
Good. So
with
do we.
Defense with the offense. Plus, I want to come back. I won the Eagles-Giants at home 2 years ago. I want to get the score in. I want to win. I want to win again.
Well, what do you got, man? What do you got for us?
I'm going to say Eagles 27, Giants 17. And as far as if Vic is healthy, I'd like to see him there. But hamstrings are tricky. You move one wrong way, you can re-injure it. So if Foles can't go, Barkley's got to be ready.
Yep. And I think what's interesting, Carl, today it's a chilly day, and it's going to be a chilly day on Sunday, and we know how muscles can get tight, so it's really incumbent upon the athletic training department, the strength and conditioning staff, to make sure that Michael is loose, limber, and when he is needed to run, when he has an opportunity to do so, that he's got that explosiveness in his legs.
Do you think Casey will still be the emergency quarterback? Do you see him ever get any reps like with the practice squad?
No.
Will Kinney be the emergency quarterback?
No, I don't think and thanks for the call, Carl. I think it's very difficult to bring up G.J. Kinney. If you do that, that means you have to cut somebody from the 53-man roster. We saw last week the Eagles releasing Jordan Poyer. When Chris Polk was injured, they had to bring up Matthew Tucker. So it makes it very difficult. Now, you could cut Matthew Tucker if you wanted to and hopefully keep him on the practice squad. But when you release somebody, you expose that person to another team's whims. And I think the Eagles like Matthew Tucker, and they like Jordan Poyer, and Poyer gets claimed by the Cleveland Browns, and he's no longer a Philadelphia Eagle. So that is the challenge there. I don't think that G.J. Kinney will be the third-string quarterback, but, boy, I just don't know. I mean, the Nick Foles is making progress. I think everybody hopes that he continues to make good progress, and we'll see at the end of the week where he is. Anthony in New Jersey joins us. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, Dave?
Doing fine, thanks. Recovering. I'm a recovering Eagle maniac. How you doing?
Yeah, I just have a question. How is Nick Foles doing?
I don't know the answer to that. Chip said that he was making a lot of progress. Now, he's not on the practice field today, so we measure that. He's got to go through the various phases of the protocol mandated by the NFL. But he's making good progress, and maybe he gets back out there on Thursday, Friday. But he's got to be cleared first by an independent neurologist, and I can't give you a percentage.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right?
I just wanted to let you know that people have been saying that, like, you know, Nick Foles is, like, bad now, because I've been hearing this, like, half of it a week now, and he's saying, like, you know, this is bad and, like, all that. Well, I mean, I just want to say, you know, it's only 1 week, you know.
Yeah.
And next week, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Hey, give me a prediction for the game.
Eagles 20, Giants 10.
Thanks, man. I don't think anybody – thanks for the call, Anthony. I don't think anybody's giving up on Nick Foles. It was a disappointing performance from Nick, from the Eagles offense, just 3 points. I mean, you know, you got to be better than that. But the running game wasn't there on Sunday. The Cowboys defense just took it to the Eagles. I mean, it was so shocking. I think that everybody really expressed themselves very emotionally, and that's what Eagles football does to us all. All right, Tom in Buffalo joins us. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
Hey, fine. How are you doing?
I'm looking. I got to get a win, man. I got to get a win.
I'm recovering like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen, I really like Nick Foles. I just want to ask you this question.
Yes.
When I watched him Sunday, mm-hmm. It, from the very beginning, it seemed like something was wrong.
Yeah,
other
agreed.
Than just, you know, not hitting his receivers. Has anything turned up that indicate? No, it was a weird switch, you know, so quick.
I don't think anybody had any sort of fit. There was no physical ailment. The groin that was reported didn't factor in. From what I saw, Tom, look, I saw the first pass was the flare pass to LeSean McCoy, gained 11 yards. I'm going, okay,
right.
Okay. But then
yep.
Nick was holding the football.
Yeah.
And he held it. It was like he was just reluctant to stick the ball in there. And sometimes
and that's not like him.
No,
he's usually 1, 2, 3, bing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame. I love the guy, but I'm just hoping that Vic will be ready for it.
I hear you.
He's got to be ready.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, that's the plan, to get him ready, to get him him healthy. What's your prediction for Sunday?
Okay, I've got it 27-17, Eagles.
27, a lot of that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Tom.
That's a good number, I think.
Thank you.
Hey, have a good week.
You too, man. You know, last week everything was 35, 38, 42, 45. A bad week offensively, and the Eagles' numbers going back down. All right, let's take a little break here. When we return, we've got the Cover 2 segment. Howard Eskin from Fox Philadelphia, longtime broadcaster here, as well as PhillyMag.com's Sheil Kapadia. Join Chris McPherson in the studio and discuss the loss, the defense, and where the Eagles are at 3-4. It's Eagles Live. We're coming right back.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
Let's go.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And we have an all-star crew breaking down the Eagles-Cowboys game and looking ahead to the matchup with the Giants. We have Howard Eskin from Fox 29, also the sideline reporter for the 94 WIP broadcast, and Sheil Kapadia from the Birds 24/7 blog, also hosts a wonderful radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic. And look, the Eagles go into this matchup with the Cowboys looking to get first place in NFC East, and they come up short 17-3. Howard, what happened in the game?
Well, you want me to break it down? They were bad. How's that for a breakdown? Now, I don't think anybody really has an answer. I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback. I don't know that he's as good as he was against Tampa when you're the player of the week. However, it is hard to understand. I don't even know if the coach understands. We understand what happened. He was short on throws. He was inaccurate. Chip says he didn't set his feet at times. I get all that, but why this week and not the previous week? And I don't know that we have an answer, but we know that that game was very winnable. If Nick Foles had a decent game, they win it because if Avant scores the touchdown on that one pass where he was wide open, then all of a sudden, it's, what, a three-point game at that point? So to answer the question, why, how, well, we know how, we just don't know why. It's hard to come up with an answer.
Sheil, you're great at breaking down the X's and O's. Do you have any sense of what happened to Nick on Sunday?
Well, you hear a lot of people saying Monty Kiffin solved Chip Kelly, and I really don't see that at all. There were wide receivers running free, running open all game long. We saw it with Brent Celek, with Jason Avon, and Chip Kelly said it with maybe some mechanics of footwork with Nick Foles. I can't really put my finger on it. Like Howard said, he wasn't as good as he was the week before against Tampa. He's certainly not as bad as he played this week against Dallas. He's somewhere in between, but for whatever reason, the accuracy wasn't there in that game.
All right, let's get a little bit of a silver lining here, Shiel. At least did the defense take a major step forward here with their performance?
Yeah, I thought it was their best defensive performance of the year. You know, when you give the Cowboys that many opportunities, I don't think people realize that was really a high-powered offense. They were relatively healthy. Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. Bryant had his catches, but overall they pressured Tony Romo. He completed a lower percentage of his passes than he had in any game this season, and I thought it really was a step forward for Billy Davis and company.
Hey, if you signed up before the game and say, all right, the Cowboys are going to score 17 points, would you take it?
Easily.
You'd sign right up for it. And you say, all right, the Eagles are going to score at least 20-some points. That's the hard thing to understand. The defense did play well. The Cowboys are not a good team on the road. They don't average. I think they average 18.5 points. But they do have a better offense. But the defense was great. I'm telling you, just little things. I mean, okay, we can focus on Foles, but when's the last time you saw McCoy average basically three yards a carry in a game? I can't remember the last time. There's so many things that you can look at offensively. DeSean Jackson had single coverage. You saw that too. And you don't get him the football. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But it can't ever be that bad again. It can't. It just can't.
Well, let's look forward to this Sunday, Eagles-Giants. Howard, what should the Eagles do at quarterback? What do you think the team needs to do to get back on track?
Well, I believed, because of some of the things that I was told, that when Michael Vick was healthy, and he's never going to be 100%, that's just not Michael Vick, he was going to be the starting quarterback. I honestly believe, without a question, that he will be the starting quarterback. And now with the concussion situation, he may force to be the starting quarterback. But I think that was going to happen anyway. What's sad about it, it would have been great for all the fodder going on in this city with all these fans screaming and yelling. If Foles had a good game, then there would have been a great argument.
Exactly.
How can you play Michael Vick? So the reality is it's going to be Michael Vick, and I just don't see any way it can be anybody else, because he's going to be good enough, I think, health-wise to play.
Shiel, agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, remember, this was a top-five offense with Michael Vick running it. They had some issues in the red zone. They weren't finishing every drive, but they were moving the football, and especially running the football, like Howard said, with Michael Vick in there, able to run that zone read where he's a threat to run it, they really had a lot of success doing that, so I think that makes sense going forward.
Another week, another quarterback discussion. For Shiel and Howard, I'm Chris McPherson, and thank you very much for joining us in our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Ugh, why does she pack these things? I ate one by accident last time. And we won. It's good luck. But it tastes like a dirty old tree branch. What the heck is Quino? But this is for first place.
What is that, a loofah?
It's a Quino.
Bud Light, for the fans who do whatever it takes.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
Today, many hospitals seem to claim they're the best in their areas. But in this region, it's nearly impossible to match the experience of the physicians and nurses of Jefferson Hospital for Neuroscience. With specialized critical care units and advanced technology, it's the region's only hospital totally dedicated to neurosurgery and neurology.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, as we turn the page from Sunday last week at the New York Giants. Really tough to come back from that loss to the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, I didn't like that page. I didn't like the headlines. I didn't like the stories. I didn't like the script. I didn't like anything about that game. So the faster you bury it, the better.
To me, this is a great test to see how the Eagles recover from a big game moment in which they lost 17-3 and then segue into another big game moment. Although not the glitz, not the glamour, not the hype, this Giants game is huge.
You know what I like about Chip Kelly? Last week, everybody wanted him to say how big the Dallas game was, how big the rivalry was. And the problem is, if you say that it is, how do you come back if you play a game like that and you lose? So what Chip basically says is, in the National Football League, your team has to play every week as if it's the Super Bowl. And that makes this game just as big. And certainly from a standing standpoint, from an NFC East standpoint, it is big. And I think the Eagles are going to come back, and I think they're going to play well.
Merrill, we don't know anything in terms of official, because I guess you really don't know until the game begins who the quarterback will be, given this situation with the Eagles this week. But Michael Vick looks like he is in line to play the quarterback position. Given some of the physical limits that he may or may not have, what changes for the Eagles offense?
Well, I think if Michael Vick is at the helm once again, there still is a viable running threat. He is a very, very mobile quarterback. I don't think they're going to put Michael Vick out there and say, just be a pure pocket passer, because if that were the case, they could have used him probably the week after he pulled the hamstring. He was there in an emergency situation and could have played as a pocket quarterback. So they're playing Michael Vick because they believe that he can escape if he has to. Watch the Giants the other night, Dave, and they did a very good job of shutting down Adrian Peterson. I don't think the Giants are a good team. I don't think they played a good game. But the one thing they did well was took Adrian Peterson out of that game. And I think what their first order of business, again, is going to be is to shut down Shady McCoy. And certainly they can look at the Dallas tape and see that that can be done.
Well, they don't even need to look at the Dallas tape as we look at some of the numbers from that Monday night win for the Giants over the Vikings. And you're right, Peterson a non-factor, Josh Freeman an awful game, just a terrible performance really from both teams in that game. But the Giants in the first game against the Eagles did an outstanding job on the Eagles' run game. And so I wonder, to me, this is a good opportunity to evaluate this coaching staff, the scouting department, second time around. What kind of adjustments do you make?
Well, I think they'll make adjustments, and I think there are things that they will do against the Giants that the Giants won't see coming. Obviously, they get something out of that first game against the Giants and saw what Nick Foles did to move the team. And I think that had Michael Vick stayed healthy, he was doing a lot of things with his legs in that first half. I just don't think the Giants are a very good team. I hear people talking about the losing streak at the Link. They have now lost 9 straight home games.
Don't remind me.
And I don't think that has anything to do with home games. I think if those 9 games had been played on the road, they would have lost them on the road and some by bigger margins. But I do think that this is the week that they have a great opportunity to bury that and get on with their business.
And getting to 4-4 in the first half of this regular season would be quite an achievement in the sense of where the Eagles have come from in 2012 to where they are now.
I think you're right. I think the one game that they let slip away that they had every reason to win was the San Diego game. Sometimes you look back and you say, boy, they should have won this game or they should have won that game. No, I think that they made too many mistakes against Kansas City. But I think that the San Diego game was theirs to take. That's the only one I have a bad feeling about. But they've done some very good things, the way they pulled that out at the Meadowlands with Nick coming in the next week in Tampa Bay against a very good defense. And this week is a big test.
Merrill, let's talk about Nick Foles. We obviously think that he's got a promising future as a quarterback in the league. We've talked about that in last week. What a difference a week makes, right? We were talking about Nick Foles being the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after that performance against Tampa Bay. Big picture here, Nick Foles, I mean, how much did that Dallas game change things?
You'd have to get into the head of the coaching staff to give you an honest answer on that. But in my opinion, I've watched Nick Foles since he first arrived. I watched him in his rookie summer. I watched him in his starts last year. and I have believed that Nick Foles has a future as a starting NFL quarterback. And the game he played at the Meadowlands, the game he played against Tampa Bay, they were outstanding performances. I am not going to let my entire feelings and evaluation of Nick Foles go down the drain because of one bad game. Every quarterback has a clunker. His came up at the wrong time. It was probably a worse game than you thought he was capable of having, but it happened. But to bury him and to say his career is over, he'll never be a starter because of that one game, I think is wrong, and I think it's certainly premature.
Merrill, quickly on the other side of the ball, the defense has made some excellent strides since the beginning of the season. Certainly something building there with Bill Davis and his crew. I like the way the cornerbacks are playing. I like the way the scheme is starting to fit. You agree, seeing some good things on defense?
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me because I have been a Bill Davis guy from the day he arrived. I think he is a bright, bright football coach. And I spoke with somebody who had direct communication with Bill Cowher. And Bill Cowher was raving about what he sees Billy Davis do and how capable he thinks he is. And you see, the Eagles are now one of three teams in the NFL to have held opponents to 21 points or less over the past three games.
Merle, this NFC East, the Cowboys lead the way. They've got a one-game lead, the Eagles and the Redskins. Is this division going down to the final week?
Maybe, and I would say probably, and I hope it goes down to the final game between the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Or actually, I hope that the Eagles are up by two games going into that.
But the point but is, the Eagles very are still well in the game.
I think so. I believe that. Dallas has a tough game Sunday against Detroit.
Right. And the Redskins play at Denver. So after Sunday's win over the Giants, we could be feeling a whole lot better than in the couple of days after that Dallas
I think game. So. It was a tough Monday morning to get up and try to find the sunshine. But the thing about the NFL season is you know going in that there is no sport that puts you on a greater emotional roller coaster.
Right.
But hopefully the roller coaster is about to hit its apex and go on from there.
We live in seven-day life cycles.
We do.
In the NFL. For Merrill Reese, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hi, I'm Dave Spadaro, and it's time for our NovaCare Rehabilitation Health Tip of the Day. And today we're going to talk about that dreaded injury, that injury that we all fear, the Achilles tendon injury. And I'm here with Sarah, the expert from the NovaCare complex here. And let's first talk about what is an Achilles.
So your Achilles tendon is the big, thick tendon on the back of your heel, and it's the most commonly heard of injury. It's the most commonly heard of tendon in the body. There's a reason why we call it the Achilles heel. And basically, if you look at this here, your Achilles is made up of two different muscles. You have your gastroc, your really big muscle that makes up that shelf that everybody sees on a runner. And then you have your soleus, which is a much deeper muscle. And they form a big, thick band, and it comes down and attaches very broadly in on the heel here.
And what are the tips that you can provide to all of us on a daily basis? How can we kind of lessen the chances of suffering that Achilles tendon tear?
The number one thing you can do is stretch. foremost and above anything else, stretching. Achilles injuries, whether it's a tear or whether it's just chronic pain, are usually associated with overuse. So your runner, your football player, your athlete of any kind, your basketball player, they've got that super tight calf, they've got a lot of strength in it, but they don't have any flexibility. And that lack of flexibility is what ultimately results in the injury.
Sarah, I think it's time for you to take me through some stretches.
Okay. The most common mistake with stretching the Achilles, Dave actually shows right here, and that's having that foot turned out and that arch really flat. So what we want to do is actually have him turn that in a little bit, give a little bit of rotation. Nope, keep that toe turned in. Give a little rotation of the knee forward. And Dave, you should feel that arch lift up quite a bit. And if you look now at the Achilles, it should look a lot straighter than it just did before when it had that big giant curve in it. And that's where what you want to make sure you're doing when you stretch your Achilles, to make sure that you're actually stretching here and not stretching the sole of your foot.
Sarah, if someone does suffer an Achilles tendon tear, what is the treatment? What is the recovery time?
Most commonly, the treatment is surgery, especially in an athlete. You want to make sure that the surgeon's going to basically look at how involved the tear is and try to repair it directly. Once that happens, there's usually an immobilization with a cast and then one of those big old black boots that we see everybody walking around in. And rehab will usually start at 8 to 12 weeks. And from then on, it's making sure there's good strength and good flexibility at the same time as you work the athlete into the dynamic drills they need.
And when one is finished the treatment, could you expect the athlete to be 100%?
It's very variable. Oftentimes, athletes do end up with very slight deficits, but once in a while, you get somebody who will come back better than ever, and it's because they weren't at the best conditioning when the injury happened in the first place.
And so the message here is, whether you're a professional athlete, whether you're a weekend warrior, make sure you stretch every day and keep that Achilles tendon healthy.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Complete over the middle.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most high sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Well, ladies, on Saturday and Sunday, it's all about you. It's our Eagles Style Lounge, presented by CoverGirl. Get to Lincoln Financial Field, the Headhouse Plaza, from 10 to 5 on Saturday. And if you have a game ticket on Sunday as well, stop and shop and check out the newest Eagles gear made just for women and tweens, featuring Nike, Touch by Alyssa Milano, and many more. Talk with Renee Reese, the wife of Eagles alumni Ike Reese, about how to create your personal Eagles look. Complimentary CoverGirl Fanicure featuring team nail art. And much, much more. Good times at Lincoln Financial Field for the ladies. Our Eagles Style Lounge this weekend. It's going to be a good time for all of you women out there who are Eagles fans. And that's a huge, huge audience. Dave Spadaro back with you from Beauty to the Beast. 215-339-6709. In a moment, we're going to get to D'Amico Ryans, LeSean McCoy. In the meantime, let's take a phone call or two. Talk about the Eagles, Giants, take your predictions. A big one for Philadelphia, trying to get to 4-4 at the midway point of this season. And who knows, maybe the Eagles are in first place in the NFC East at the end of the day. Eagles win against the Giants. Then the Cowboys are in Detroit. you get where I'm coming from. The Eagles have a big one, as we all know. We got a schedule coming up for you, right? Look at this. After the Giants game, we've got time to hit the road. At Oakland, at Green Bay, we take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster. For the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets, visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm gonna go game by game here. I am not gonna, you know, go too whole hog on predictions. I just think it's worth just finding out 1 minute to the next, 1 week to the next. That's the fun way to do it. All right, let's go to Bill in Virginia, who joins us on Eagles Live. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi,
Bill. Good, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great.
First time I ever got through.
Well, thank you for trying. Thank you for your persistence.
Trying.
Great.
Well, I'm originally from Philly, and I'm still an Eagles fan. Always have been, always will be. Live about 15 miles from Mike Vick. Well, this week, hopefully he gets the start, and hopefully Foles gets well, too.
Bill, if Vick does start, I mean, do you expect to see the same Michael Vick?
I think he's going to be a little bit more complacent on the run because he's not going to – hopefully he doesn't try to do anything too much and hurt the hamstring any more than what it's been hurt.
So you expect to see more of a pocket quarterback perhaps?
If he needs to be.
Right.
But if he needs to run, I think he'll break it loose.
Okay. I just hope that hamstring, if he does play, I just hope it's healthy and he's got that explosiveness. And that's really the element that separates Michael from anything else out there.
Yep.
Give me
go ahead. My prediction,
yes.
I think we're going to win 42-17.
Whoa. Come back with a fury.
I think we're going to have a big game because their secondary isn't that great to me. I mean, but we need to keep Akeem Nicks and Cruz off the scoring board. But hopefully that happens.
Right.
Because our defense is getting better. That's been shown. Every week we're increasing productivity on the defensive line, and that's good.
Yeah, the defense has looked really good here. We take a look. Thanks for the call, Bill. Thanks for your persistence and trying and being a great fan down in Virginia. The top performers for the Giants on offense, no surprise, all wide receivers. Brandon Boykin did a really nice job on Victor Cruz in that first game, but Hakeem Nicks a huge game. Reuben Randall, 2 touchdowns. He had a big game on Monday night in the Giants' win over the Vikings. So the expectation defensively, you better be able to defend the pass, better be able to get to Eli Manning, take the football away. 215-339-6709. In just a few moments, it's LeSean McCoy and the leader of the defense, leader of the team, I would say, D'Amico Ryans. All right, Mike in Arizona joins us. Michael.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Welcome.
So why don't we bring back Dixon back, man?
Dixon is on the practice squad in Buffalo, okay? So,
oh, wow.
So to bring him back, you'd have to keep him on the active roster for 3 weeks and cut somebody.
Right. I just don't have very much faith in USC quarterbacks and Matt Barkley. They've been known to fail.
The history of USC quarterbacks is rather dubious. There's no question about it.
True that. I do see winning this game. Should be a tight one since our defense is stepping up. So I'm going to go 21-10.
Okay.
Eagles, baby.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for checking in from Arizona. It is interesting, though. But the fortunate part is that G.J. Kinney, in an emergency, I would guess that he won't be active. I mean, the way I'm looking at this week, it looks like Vic is number one and then Matt Barkley, and you see the numbers from his debut last week, would be the number two quarterback. And I would imagine James Casey three, although Nick Foles, again, is making progress according to Chip Kelly. How much progress, we can't really give you a percentage. Would he be ready to play Sunday? Can't really tell you that for sure either. But Nick Foles making progress, and we'll see if he's ready to go as an emergency possibility on Sunday, recovering from that concussion. Again, he has to go through the five-step program to get clearance from the NFL to get back on the field. 215-339-6709, the telephone number. We're back live tomorrow at noon. We've got a great show for you tomorrow. Ike Reese in studio. We'll talk a little bit about the trench war with Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell. and they break it down in our pre-snap read. What's happening in the trenches for the Eagles? It seems like the defense is gaining traction. The offense certainly had some challenges last week against those Dallas Cowboys. Injury update for you, Patrick Chung practicing. That's very encouraging. So Eagles, they want to get him back healthy into the mix at the safety positions in that rotation with Nate Allen and Earl Wolf. Chris Polk practicing. Jake Knott not practicing, and that's why Emmanuel Acho is here. And you know, we talk about injuries. How about the injury that Jason Phillips suffered before the season started? Really hurt what the Eagles wanted to do in special teams coverage. All right, a quick one. Larry in Atlanta joins us. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Doing great, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I was wondering, you know, what I was just watching the show. I was just wondering, you know, people were, you know, on Twitter and all the social networks just bashing and praising the last couple weeks of, you know, how Nick Foles is, which I agree he's a good quarterback. What they were saying, he's the offense is 10 times better with him than Michael at quarterback.
Okay.
What's your comments on that?
He played fantastic football against the Giants for those two quarters plus. He played outstanding, flawless football against Tampa Bay, and then he played very poorly against the Cowboys, as did the entire offense. I can't tell you, it's such a small sample size, Larry, that I was really shocked. I think everybody was really shocked by the performance against Dallas. But prior to that, I mean, Nick Foles dropped back and let it go. Against the Cowboys, yes, he didn't.
Yeah, that's true. If you was Chip Kelly, if you was the head coach, if you were the offensive coordinator, who would you go with?
Well, I would go with whoever's healthy, and I don't think Nick's going to be healthy enough to play in this game. So if it's Michael Vick who's healthy, I'm going with Michael Vick. If both of them are healthy, I mean, it's really a very difficult situation. It's a very difficult question to answer. I'm one of those. I thought that Michael played well enough to keep the job. I thought he was performing well. The only drawback from Michael is turnovers against Kansas City, and then the red zone performance has not been strong. So
yeah, that's true, Dave. But you got to look at this. Every time we get down in the red zone, we're making dumb decisions. Offensive line get a holding call, or the receivers wouldn't get open. I mean, a lot of people have been bashing Mike for this. I mean, this has been the most effective Mike has been since he's been here in Atlanta with us, or, you know, with the Falcons. And so other than that, you know, this coming from, you know, where he was when he was a younger player in the NFL until when now, this is the best he's been playing since he was in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, he's going to get – if he stays healthy here this week and gets more explosive, gets comfort in that hamstring, he'll be playing, I would think, on Sunday against the Giants. Give me a prediction for the game, Larry.
I'm going to say 35-14.
Thank you very much for the call, Larry. Thank you. I am not going to get drawn into a Michael Vick versus Nick Foles conversation. I think they both played well. I think had Nick Foles gone out and beaten the Cowboys and played as he played in the previous two games, you would have had to have gone with Nick Foles. But that didn't happen. This is why Chip Kelly does not answer hypothetical questions. He answers questions based in reality of what he sees in the present. But frankly, when you look big picture at the end of the year, obviously who the quarterback is moving forward, who the franchise quarterback is, remains a big-time question mark here. All right, Kurt in Iowa joins us. Hey, Kurt.
Hi, yeah. Thanks, Dave. I just recently got noticed you last year, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
So.
Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it.
Let me give you a prediction of the game. I think Eagles will come up big. I think they're going to come up 27-10.
27-10.
And I think Michael's going to have a breakout game, and he's going to take us all the way to the playoffs.
What is a breakout game? What is it? Is it three touchdown passes?
This is 2010 pick right here.
Okay.
He's ready and he's ready. He's hungry.
Boy, thank you for the phone call. That 2010 Michael Vick was fast, decisive. I hope that hamstring is up to it. You know, that what I am not concerned with, but what I want to watch is Michael hasn't played in a few weeks here. And if he plays, conditioning, taking hits, instincts, quick decisions. You know, when he takes off and runs, does he have the burst? Want to see that. We want to see that if he is playing in this game. And I think it's also very important that LeSean McCoy, who's going to meet the media here in just a couple of minutes, really important that LeSean bounces back with a big game against the Giants, who did a number on him in the running game back a few weeks ago. Avery in San Antonio. Avery, welcome again. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm glad you're not getting drawn into that.
Want to do it.
Yeah, I don't do it either, man. But I just want to speak on the run game.
Hey, like, let me get your prediction. Give me a call tomorrow, but give me your prediction. We've got a press conference to get to.
Oh, okay, 34-14.
Thank you. Let's go to D'Amico Ryan's meeting the media.
Oh, every day is a great day. A great day to be here.
D'Amico, a lot of talk after the game was that was your best game as an Eagle. Is that how you saw it too? I mean, was that your best game as an Eagle?
It was a good game, but not good enough to get the W. You know, that's what. So a play for is to win the game. It doesn't matter about, you know, personal accomplishments. You know, it's all about the end of the day, you know, if we can win the game. So
there was a lot of talk going into that game that, you know what, one of your toughest tests of the season, and you guys defensively as a unit performed well. Which confidence does that give you going forward that you guys were able to kind of rise to the occasion there and play well?
Well, we're just confident in that our guys are getting better. That's the bright thing about it, the good thing about that game is we've seen as overall as a defense, we got better. And that was our goal, to get better that week. Same thing this week. Let's see, can we build off of that again this week? And that'll be our goal moving forward each week, is how much better can we get as a defense.
Nico, Billy Davis talked about how he's more comfortable now calling the game than he was earlier in the season. I mean, have you seen that? And do you have any examples kind of what he means?
Well, I think, you know, Billy, he's – you know, as a defensive coordinator coming into a new situation, you have to see, you know, what your players are capable of doing. So I think he sees, you know, what we're able to play well, and he does a good job of, you know, calling, putting us in situations. As players, he puts us in situations that are favorable to us and allows us to make plays.
Now, D'Amico, before your injury, when people talk about Pro Bowl, all pro middle linebackers, you were always in that discussion. Do you think the way you're playing now, you're back in that group?
I'm feeling good. That's up to you know, others. You know, that's other people's opinion to see, you know, if I'm in that category or not. You know, I don't look at that. I just look at, I'm feeling great. You know, feel like I'm playing solid still. You know,
Are you playing at that level you were playing when you were a Pro Bowl walker?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think it's there. I'm feeling pretty good.
Obviously, you got a lot of new players, new system and everything. Did you kind of take it upon yourself to, like, you know, be more of a leader this year to kind of take some of these young guys on your wing a little bit?
I mean, I get that question a lot about the leaders, but it's not that, you know, I just took it upon myself. We had a lot of people coming in. I was trying to learn the defense myself, you know, first and foremost, get it down. And as we grew together, of course, you know, as the young guys come to me, have any questions, we talk about things all the time. We're always communicating. And it's not just me, per se. It's other guys. It's Connor Barwin. It's, you know, it's Nate, Kurt, all those guys. Kerry, all those guys. We're in it collectively. It's not just, you know, one guy.
Chip said that Billy has a unique way of getting a message across to his defense. If he feels that you're not getting it in one way, he rewords it so that you get it. Can you talk about how Billy relates to the defensive players to help you guys understand what he's trying to get across to?
I think Billy, he does a good job of communicating. He's a great communicator. You know, we do it in the classroom. You know, that's our first time getting in the classroom. If, you know, guys don't get it, then we come out here and we slow it down and walk through exactly what we're trying to do. And he, you know, he teaches us exactly what we're trying to do and why we're doing it. So that's one thing about Billy. It's not just do this. There's a why to why we're doing what we're doing. And as a player, you can really appreciate that from a coach.
Chip said that he's sort of amused by the fact that the defense that you're running now is kind of the same defense that took a lot of heat at the beginning of the season. About that, I mean, do you think that Billy took too much of the heat on behalf of you guys?
I'm not sure who took the heat or what, but we didn't play well starting off. At the end of the day, we didn't get the job done as we should have. Guys, I don't know if it, you know, the guys weren't comfortable with what we were doing. It was new to a lot of us, but we just kind of settled in. And like I said, guys consistently focused on the little things to get better at, not try to overdo it or try to do too much, do someone else's job. We focused on the little things and seeing it week by week get better.
How's preparing to play and playing a running back like Peyton Hillis and Brandon Jacobs different than a David Wilson like did the last time?
Well, you know, these are much, much bigger backs, and they're back to that giant football, just downhill running. You know, they're going to try to push us off the ball, push us around. They got some big backs who can tote it, big, strong guys. Who are not as like Wilson was a guy that can run a lot of outside plays and a speed guy that can get out of backfield and routes and things of that nature. But now it's just old school smash mouth football. Yeah.
Last week it seemed like you had a lot of success kind of showing blitz and then dropping back into coverage. What's the key to selling that so that you kind of occupy an offensive line and you free someone else up?
Just mix it up. We mix it up and see, you know, what offenses this allow us to do, you know, so we'll just keep mixing it up.
But what about you specifically on those plays? I mean, are you trying to take one step forward and then drop?
I can't tell you all that.
Okay. the key to beating the Giants is it always as Eli Manning goes, so go the Giants. Can you talk about that?
Well, the key to beating the Giants is first and foremost stopping the run game. You know, they're a run first team, and Eli's Eli, you know, two-time Super Bowl MVP. He can make all the throws. He's a great player, great quarterback, and he can make all those throws. So you have to, first and foremost, stop the run, and then as much as we can, try to get pressure on him to make things hard on him.
Does it help having Manuacho here, having spent a few weeks with the Giants, or is that overstated?
I think it's a little bit overstated. You know, Acho is not, he wasn't, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. It would be helpful if he was a, you know, a quarterback or something, telling us all their checks and things of that nature. But, you know, I think it's kind of overstated. We still going to watch the film, and that's where I get most of my work off of, just watching the film and seeing what they do.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, guys.
Last time you faced the Giants, they held you to the lowest rushing yard you had the season up to this point. What did they do to stop you from getting loose on that
game? Up front, they made some plays. Made some plays, a lot of stunts. And to their credit, they got some guys up front that's pretty good. It's a good defense, I think, strategy for that week. But we made some adjustments ourselves. We watched the tape. We learned from it. Going back to the Giants game, we took some things out of that game. We're going to utilize it this game. So I think we have a good matchup. I think we made the right adjustments. You know, Coach Kelly is good at that, finding different ways to get us in space to make plays.
When you have a game like that against the Giants and you get to play them so quickly again, you get even more pumped up to face them and kind of do some damage here?
For sure. I think that a game like this in a division where we need to win, coming off a bad week, my last week, where we didn't play too well at all. Just to get a win and get back on the winning side of things makes this game so important.
But how much do you think about what you did in that last game and didn't have a lot of yards and things like that, rushing and then getting to face them again? Is that kind of?
Well, I think every play on the offense, especially from the linemen down to the running backs, just that competitive attitude that really want to get out there and you know, put some yards up. I think last week we didn't, but when we played the Giants, we didn't do that at all. I think they made some plays, and so you want to kind of answer back. I think the most important goal is just to win the game. I think kind of the individual stats and feelings and emotions are second.
You were very critical.
Every team you face now is really keying on the run because you've been the leading rusher in the league since the beginning of the season. Are you going to have the kind of space you had early in the season again, and do you have to kind of recalibrate yourself to a different sort of reality?
That's a question I really can't answer. I'm not sure how they'll play me. for the most part, it's been very similar each week, the type of preparation that they have for the run game. But, I mean, we can't just give in because they're trying to stop the run. I think myself, there's different things I can do to be more successful in the run game. And we have a lot of adjustments. So I'm waiting this week to really see how it works out. We're making so many different moves to kind of answer for the defensive calls and defensive stunts and different movements we're getting.
You're very critical of yourself after this last game. What did you see when you watched the film? What could you have done differently?
I just wasn't myself. I felt like with a game like this, where my team needed me and depended on me, I didn't show up. I started doing it's too many individual type of plays, not really going with the plays and just doing my own thing. Just was a little frustrated. I wasn't really making the plays that I usually make. And they were stopping us. We were going three and outs, and things wasn't going our way. So I just tried to make too many things happen. Certain plays, from running the ball to screens and different things like that. I felt that was probably my worst performance since my rookie year. But I'll bounce back this week for sure. Just got to trust in the scheme. You know, if things are not working out, eventually they'll break.
Even with the Giants team, the running stats were a lot different in the second half.
Yeah.
After Mike was gone,
would
having Mike back help you, in particular that zone
replay? I guess we'll see. We'll see how everything works out. I think it's probably a different scheme. You never know if Mike's in, because if he's healthy or not healthy, his presence on the field, you got to account for him as defense. So I'll just have to wait and see how they play it. I could just be true to myself in the blocking schemes and do the best of my ability.
How did Mike look to you today at practice?
Oh, Mike, he looked great. He always looks great.
Able to do everything. He was part of the team drills.
I mean, he looked great, man. He looked great.
For you, though, when Mike's out there, I mean, do you see a difference in the way the defenses are playing you guys and when he's not out there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's small things like, you know, sometimes we'll get a spy on Mike. So, there, as a back, you get just a one-on-one matchup, which is hard for defense. Sometimes we'll when we do some of the replays we have, the defensive end or backer, they'll have a guy signed for Mike. And you can actually see it. They'll be waiting for him. So, I mean, every team plays it differently. They play it different. But you always can tell when a guy kind of has Mike. Even on kind of the third and tens or passing downs, I might say, they kind of wait for Mike. Guys are rushed, but they still have that eye where he can run. You know, so small things like that you would kind of notice.
With all the success you guys had in the ring, even with some of the setbacks you had, you feel like you guys are kind of edging closer to being that kind of dominating running game that you need to be, especially with this offense?
I think so. I think it starts with just the presence. I think the first thing when you come and play this offense, okay, we got to stop the run. So just knowing that, you can work off of that. You can work off the run game because that's the first thing they want to take out of the ball game. And then we've been working different plays. Coach Kelly sprinkled some different things in this week. So it's like when you come game playing for us, you got to watch out for a lot of different things. And I think the run game is obviously the first thing you want to take away. And then we start hitting them up top and across the middle and things like that, different screens. You kind of back them off. So you can work off the run game.
You had some trouble with them the last time you faced them. Adrian Peterson struggled against the Giants' run game. How good are they at stopping the run?
I mean, there's some tape or some games where you watch guys are gashing them. And then there's just other tape where you watch myself and Adrian. We didn't do so well against their run defense. I mean, they're a tough group. They're a tough group. They have, I want to say, they got good depth. Good depth from the defensive linemen. So the guys are making plays. I mean, we just got to be a better offense that day than they are as a defense and make some adjustments. Kind of get the run game going a little bit.
Jason Kelly talked today about how Jason Kelce, that last Giants game, had a poor game, and he was really incredibly critical of himself, that Jason's a guy who just really, you know, takes everything he does very, very personally.
Yeah.
Do you get that from him, and what is he like as a center?
Oh, well, Jason, I mean, he's kind of the captain of the offense. I mean, you go from Michael Vick, and then you go down to Kelce. He demands his up front. He lets know where to go. He's their quarterback. And that's what makes the offense go. I think it starts up front with the offensive lineman. And Jason's He's a hard worker. He's a great center. He's smart, very edgy. He's very smart. He's very intelligent. So just have him. I think I see the difference from when I had him when I didn't have him. You can count on him for making the right calls. And even blitz protection. I don't think it's really the physical part of who to block. I think it's just actually knowing what guy I got, you know, who I'm blocking. So, and Jason, he does fine in all them things. So he'll be fine this game. Every player's gonna go through that where they don't play as good as they want to play.
All right, that is LeSean McCoy, Eagles running back, along with D'Amico Ryans, Eagles linebacker. Earlier today, Chip Kelly held his press conference. We throw you now a little bit of that, some of the best of Chip from this morning with the Philadelphia media.
Yeah, Nick's doing better. He was in, met with the trainers today. He won't practice today. He has to go through a set protocol of when he can, when he's allowed back, and he'll have to see an independent before he's allowed back. But and talking to him, he said he feels like he's doing better. Yeah, Mike got some team reps for the first time. You know, he had done some 7-on-7, but hadn't been in really involved in team. Did a little bit of team last week, but it was scout team. So. You know, got some reps, said he felt decent. You know, the biggest test for him is how does he bounce back? You know, where is he, you know, from one day to the next day and where he is. I can be honest with you, I don't think he ran 100%. You know, he wasn't running full sprints out there yesterday in practice, but he looks like he's progressing. So Pat practiced full yesterday. Fletch was limited. And Jake is out right now. You know, didn't practice at all. So we'll see how those guys progress. But Pat was encouraging. Pat went through it, so said he felt good. We'll see again with Pat. It's a kind of a daily thing, is how does he bounce back? If you did some work on Tuesday, then how do you come back and play on Wednesday? So I think Jason Kelce takes everything to heart, and that's what's awesome about Jason Kelce. I think he's he demands perfection from himself, and I think he knows. I don't think anybody's going to get perfection, but, you know, that's the standard he sets from himself. So if Jason Kelce graded out at 99%, he'd be pissed off. You know, that's just the type of guy he is, and that's why he's awesome to have on this team. So I don't think Jason played as poorly as he thought he played in the Giants game, but, you know, he's a competitor. He thinks he should make every block. He thinks he should make every correct call. And he's really been an anchor for us in the middle there. Billy's what I thought he was going to be. I think, first and foremost, he's an outstanding teacher. You know, I think he can effectively communicate what he wants to happen. He can get that done. You know, some guys are great when they're in a classroom and they're X and O's and they can tell you how much football they have, but the ability to be a great educator is, can you transport that knowledge to the person that needs it? And I think that's what he does. He's an effective communicator. When you watch him in the room with our defensive staff, first and foremost, and making sure that everybody understands, and then with our players. And if he doesn't get his point across the first time, then he'll find another way to get his point across. But it's still, you know, the interesting thing for me, and that I'm really happy with how Billy's done it, is the defense that we ran against the Cowboys is the same defense that we ran in the beginning of the year when, you know, we were much maligned in terms of, you know, what are we doing and all those other things. But I think Billy has conviction in terms of what he's doing. I think he's sound in how he approaches things. I think he has answers. You know, if they're doing this, we need to do that. But I also know he's really, really in tune to where our players are, of how much they can handle. And a lot of times the answer is, hey, we should do this. But I don't know if our players are prepared to do that. So maybe he takes the shot that hey, we're not doing what we need to do. But he's a great communicator. He's a really, really smart guy. And I'm really happy that we got him right now. Their defense is going to be very similar to what we saw 3 weeks ago. Our offense is going to be very similar to what they saw. And the same thing, our defense compared to their offense, you know. I think it's going to be it's going to be similar, but it's who executes the best. But I think you can go back and forth with the whole, they did this, so we're going to do that, then they do this, and then we counter that, and then, you know, at the end of the day, it's still, we're going to do what we do, and they're going to do what they do, and whoever executes the best is going to win the football game.
All righty, that is Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach from earlier today. Make sure you're with us throughout the day and the evening. We bring you the very latest on the Eagles injury situation. The quarterbacks certainly very much in the picture, and the Eagles will release their injury update here in just a little bit. And then tomorrow, we're live again with Eagles Live at noon, and Chip Kelly meets the media for the final time in the morning. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.